Hello, this is David Middleton, pastor of Jesus is Lord Outreach Center, welcoming you to Doers of the Word. This program will teach you the practical knowledge of the Word of God so that you can live in victory in your life. Open your heart and mind now as I share the uncompromised Word with you today. Praise the Lord. Glad to be with you on the broadcast today. We are continuing to share with you on the subject of accurate New Testament prayer. We have written a book on this subject which covers everything that we've been covering in these many, many broadcasts on this subject. It's a very important subject. You must learn how to pray accurately if you're going to be successful in your walk with the Lord. We've talked about what prayer is. We've talked about the change from Old Testament to New Testament prayer. We've talked about how we pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. We make a legal demand of what is due us. We pray a prayer of faith, which has two aspects, taking hold and thanksgiving. We believe we take hold of the promise with thanksgiving. We talked about how we pray continuously without ceasing. And this is so important. And we talked about things that we need to eliminate so our prayers get results. If we do not pray according to the ways of the New Testament, we will not get results. We must pray to the Father in the name of Jesus as the righteousness of God with confidence. And we must deal with sin, iniquity, unforgiveness, or disharmony in our life. We pray the answer, not the problem. We don't pray if it be thy will regarding the revealed will of God. We pray what the Word says, and we know that that is the will of God. We don't doubt. We don't waver. We don't have a negative confession. We eliminate worry or anxiety. We don't pray with a wrong motive, or we would pray amiss. We are not going to be influenced by the sense realm or what we see or our feelings. We are praying in the spirit realm. We are releasing the ability of God to bring the promise of God to pass in our life. We're going to have corresponding action. We are not going to faint. And as we pray without ceasing, we will see the desired results. Now today, we're going to talk about qualities necessary for successful prayer in your life. The first one is responsibility and commitment. We need responsibility and commitment to pray. Matthew chapter 21, verse 13. He said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. This is in the Old Testament. Jesus was declaring the fact that the Old Testament temple, where the God was dwelling in the Holy of Holies, in the holy place in the outer court, the den of thieves had come in. And they had done destructive works. And he says, my house shall be called the house of prayer. You and I are to be the house of prayer because the Old Testament temple is a type of the New Testament temple, which we are. God was dwelling in the Holy of Holies. Now in us, he's dwelling in our spirit. And now we are to be a house of prayer. Isaiah 56, verse 7. Even them will I bring to my holy mountain. That's coming into the presence of God. And make them joyful in my house of prayer. You know, when you learn to pray and learn to live a life of prayer, you'll have great joy because he will make you joyful in the house of prayer. It says their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar. For mine house shall be called an house of prayer for all people. You are to be a house of prayer. You are a spiritual temple, and you're to be a vessel for God to pray through, not just for yourself, but for all people. You need to have a pattern of prayer as well. Acts chapter 1, verse 14, it says, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And in verse 42 of chapter 2, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. This shows that they were continuing steadfastly with one accord in prayer. They had taken upon themselves the pattern of prayer, the commitment to it. You must learn to be responsible and committed to pray. If you don't pray much, then your spiritual life is not really strong at all. You are not being much of a vessel for the Lord, and you're probably not seeing too much results in your life. Many Christians are discouraged today because they're not doing the Word. If you would learn to do the Word, you'll see God move in your life. You'll see answers to prayer. You'll see him bring forth the manifestation of his promises in your life. But if you just sit around and you're walking in your own ways, no wonder you're not getting results. You need to make the decision that you are going to pray and pray without ceasing, coming in line with the Word of God. In 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23, he says, "Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you." God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. If you're a person that doesn't pray, you're sinning against the Lord. If you're not praying for people, you know, God's called us to be a house of prayer. You are actually missing the mark and sinning against the Lord. You need to understand that. This is why you've got to take upon yourself the responsibility and the commitment to pray. Luke chapter 2, verse 36, it says, "There was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. And she was of a great age, and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day." She served God. How? Fastings and prayers. What's one of the greatest ways that you can serve God? It's through continual prayer. Fasting and prayer. She was doing it night and day. You need to learn to have an hour of prayer. You need to learn to be a house of prayer and have a pattern of prayer. Praying continuously throughout your day. Another thing that's important, the second quality, is discipline. Besides the responsibility and the commitment, we need discipline to pray. Acts 3:1, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour." They had an hour of prayer. They had a set time for prayer. This is important because if you don't have a set time for prayer, you're not going to be disciplined unless you've learned to pray and discipline yourself throughout the day. But most people haven't. Most people are so caught up in what they're doing, they don't even think about praying, unfortunately. You need to make the decision that you are going to get disciplined. And if you are not disciplined in your prayer life, you need to set a time, set an hour to pray. If you can't put 1 hour aside for God to get in His presence and pray and be a vessel for Him to work through, then you're just wasting your time in your life. You are just out there probably doing all the things you want to do, and everything you do will be a bunch of hay, wood, and stubble that will get burned up at the end. It's the things that stand for the Lord that are going to stand in the end, because everything that we do is going to be tried by fire, remember. And you must learn to be the vessel that God wants you to be, a vessel of honor, a house of prayer with a pattern of prayer, disciplined in praying. Set a time to pray. In Mark chapter 1, verse 35, "In the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed." Jesus did this. Well, if this is good enough for Jesus, it certainly ought to be good enough for us. Early rising to begin your day with prayer. You need to rise up. You need to get yourself in the presence of God. It says he departed into a solitary place. It'd be good for you to get a place by yourself and pray. Learn to be a person of prayer. It's going to build you up in the Spirit. It's going to speak forth the Word of God so that God can bring forth His will at that day, and you can be praying for others. You'll be tuned in spiritually to what He wants you to do. In Mark chapter 6, verse 46, it said, "When He had sent them away, He departed into a mountain to pray." Jesus would withdraw from time to time to pray. Luke 5:16, He withdrew Himself into the wilderness and prayed. We've got to learn to be a person who's going to pray. Spend the time. Get disciplined in your prayer life. A third thing is sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. We've got to have sensitivity to the Holy Spirit if we're going to be effective. We need to be knowing when to pray, when emergency arises, knowing what to pray and how to pray, because we spent time in the Word. And as we pray, we're going to be listening to the Holy Spirit. We want to be sensitive to Him. And when you're in that position, you'll be sensitive to receiving the gifts of the Holy Spirit operating through you. He can bring supernatural visitations, such as dreams or visions or appearances by angels even. That has happened in the New Testament, so this is certainly for this era today. In Acts chapter 10, verse 9, it says, "On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And while he was up there, what happened? That's when he had a vision." In fact, in chapter 11, verse 5, he says, "I was in the city of Joppa praying." He was spending time in prayer. "And in a trance, I saw a vision." It suddenly occurred. You know, people say, "Boy, it'd be nice to have some of these kind of spiritual experiences with God, visitation from God happen in my life." Well, if you don't pray, you probably won't ever see it happen much. You need to learn to be a person of prayer. Then you'll be in a position for God to visit you in such ways as dreams or visions or these supernatural appearances that He would bring in your life. In Acts chapter 10, verse 30, Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. See, he was fasting, and he was praying, and all of a sudden, this man in bright clothing, that was an angel of God, showed up. And he said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. And he said, send to Joppa and call Simon, whose surname is Peter, who lodged in the house of one Simon, the tanner by the seaside, who when he cometh shall speak unto thee. Well, this shows you that here Cornelius was a person of fasting and prayer, and he got this visitation from the angel. And then the person who was going to receive the message was up there praying on the housetop, in the city of Joppa. That's where Peter was praying, and he received what the Lord said. So both of these parties were involved in prayer. They were in the position for the Holy Spirit to work. They were sensitive to the Holy Spirit's work in their life. This is what you've got to learn to do. Acts chapter 22, here in verse 17, speaking of Paul, it says, it came to pass that when I was again in Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance. He was praying, and here again, the God manifests himself. And he said, I saw him saying unto me, make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. God spoke to them in the midst of prayer and said, get out of here. He will warn you of situations that you could be in danger of. And if you don't learn to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, you may not know what's going to happen. And you might end up having some calamities occur in your life because you didn't pick up what the Holy Spirit wanted to bring forth in your life. So we've talked about the first three of these qualities necessary for successful prayer. The first one, responsibility and commitment. Get responsible. Get committed to a prayer life. Secondly, discipline. Set time to pray. Get a disciplined prayer life and set an hour to prayer and learn to rise up early. And third, sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. You get continually in a position of praying, continually you'll be in that position for Him to bring visions or dreams or some type of a visitation or just speaking to you, showing you what He wants you to do. He'll speak to you, give you direction, and He will warn you even of danger to come. Get your prayer life together. We're going to talk more on this in the next broadcast. God bless you. As I close today, do you have problems with sickness and disease? If so, know that you can be healed of any sickness or disease. We minister healing and deliverance to people 5 days a week, and we have seen the Lord heal cancer, diabetes, high blood pressure, heart problems, headaches, neck, back, and joint pain, and healing of various physical problems. If you would like to receive personal ministry for healing, please call 268-WORD. That's 268-9673. And now, until I greet you on the next broadcast, may God bless you as you are a hearer and a doer of the Word of God.